the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." In this recording, Dave looks into what the Bible teaches about being led by the Spirit of God. The main reading is Romans chapter 8.
Amazing chapter. We just, last few weeks, we were talking about the fatherhood of God, his children. And Sunday, we wanted to make sure that we're his children. And there where John gives us a number of tests to see if we really are his children, not just because we say it, are we? And now, of course, we looked at if we know who Jesus is, change in behavior, change in our behavior and our love for one another, ultimately the Spirit of God. And here's that verse that we just read. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. One of those, again, proofs, led by the Spirit of God, loving Jesus, going against the grain, of course, doing the will of the Father, not my will, but holy and pure. But that's the verse that really gripped me on Sunday. Led by those who are led by the Spirit of God. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because thankfully the Bible gives us some great insight in that. And of course it depends what it is. And there are certain decisions in my lifetime. I look back and I was talking to a chap last night, a minister, and he was saying about, and I said, look, there was some big decisions in my navigating through my years. And some of those I knew straight away what I needed to do. Now, that didn't mean I made the decision straight away, because it was a bit of battling on, because the opportunity was a wonderful opportunity, but I knew that wasn't what the Lord wanted. So instantaneously I knew, but it was a bit of battling going on, because I thought, oh, that's a great opportunity. I didn't have to give an answer straight away, but it was, you know, over a few weeks. And it's amazing, if you're in the Word as well. See, the Spirit always works with the Word and the Word with the Spirit. And as I was reading something one day, going through my readings, I'd go from front to back, and it was just a verse jumped out. It really, just like a hammer right between the eyes. Then I already knew what I had to do, but it was just confirming what I had to make a decision of. And when it comes to those big, big decisions, the Lord will lead us if we will listen. Now, there's a key, and we'll maybe just drop into that in a moment. But Holy Spirit is the one. That's the difference. That marks out the difference between if we are saved and we're not saved. He's in us. He comes to abide in us. Jesus said, we will make our home with you. I will send another comforter. He will come into you. He will regenerate you. And there's the difference, because now we are led by the Spirit. And we did a series. Nick, we just did our 200th podcast, and it was a bit of a series of looking back on the Holy Spirit, you know, how we respond in positive, negatively, the names of the Holy Spirit, because that tells us who he is, what he's doing. But John, when Jesus was talking about those, it tells us, this is who he is, what are you going to do? Our first verse, John 16, 13 to 15.
But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you.
Again, just let that rest. All that the Father has is mine. And the Holy Spirit will make that known to you. So that's a conduit, isn't it? Father has everything, and because we're his sons and daughters, everything can be ours through the Holy Spirit. Now, what that means, the Holy Spirit gives us what we need for when we need it, isn't it? Because, as we said before, needs and greeds are a little bit different. Our wants, different thing. But with that we need, Holy Spirit will bring, he says, he is the one who guides us into all truth. He's the one who glorifies Jesus, and he's doing that in us and through us. He's the one who reveals and teaches and opens our eyes. If we will listen, again, it comes down to that listening. But that's what he does. And of course, you find that sevenfold work, if you dig a bit deeper, John 14, 15, 16, you'll find it. But that's what he's the guide, he's the director. If we will but listen, isn't that amazing? That's why he said, I won't leave you alone. I won't leave you orphans, and I won't leave you alone. Sometimes we think we are, sometimes we think, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Sometimes just rest, say, Lord, if I do, what it comes sometimes to the point where we say, Lord, I'm Joshua, Lord, I don't want to do it, but my eyes are on you. I am absolutely surrendered. Here I am. You may have to open doors and close those because I'm maybe not listening very clear, but I'm surrendered to you. I'm surrendered. I want to do what you want. And that's the heart of it, the key. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16.
But as it is written, I have not seen, nor have ye appeared, neither has even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. For God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, which we might know the things that are freely given unto us by God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but by the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Again, amazing verses. Again, the difference between outside of Christ, the natural man. Remember, the natural man is me, isn't it? And when we read Romans 8, the natural man, the sinful nature is my nature, me, what I want to do. And that's always hostile to what God wants to do, because God says, no, come this way, do this is what I want you to do. And it's against me, because he says, Lord first and others next. And we know we want me first. Lord second, and others come way down there somewhere. And so there's the natural man, cannot see, cannot understand. That's why it's spiritually understood. God, the Holy Spirit, has got to convict us, convince us, and open our eyes. That's his work. Now, our work is to say, yeah, I receive that. Yeah, I receive. So in one sense, when people say salvation is all of God, of course it is. He's the one who saved us. He's the one who opens our eyes. But you have to receive. The Bible says, to as many as believed, to as many as received, he gives the right to become children of God. So the Lord opens our eyes, but when we are his, he searches our hearts, and that's why it's good to say, Lord, yeah, just speak to me. Lord. Sit in. Sometimes, you know, when we pray, we read the word, just quieten yourself sometimes. Sit in God's presence. Because the things he'll point out and say, Dave, a bit of work to be done there, or oh well done, Dave. There's a, yeah, we're going all right with that, a bit more. And he opens things up and reveals things to us. He's the one who searches, he reveals, he uncovers, he unveils something. And you're amazing. Sometimes we think everything's okay until we have an examination. Like in school. Oh yeah, I know it, teacher. Well, let's put it to the test then. And you realise how much you didn't know, and then after the test, of course. although I was talking today, oh, no tests anymore in some courses, just coursework, isn't it? Well, with ChatGPT now, I don't know if it's someone sent me a couple of sermons from that. I read them, they weren't too bad. I thought, I bet some people are using them all the time. but he searches, he reveals, that's what he does. So if that's what he does and he's in us, he's regenerated us and he come into our heart, that's what he's going to do in us. Again, if we are listening, here it is now, here's the listening part, Isaiah 30, 19:22.
O people of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he fears, he will answer you. although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Then you will defile your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold. You will throw them away like a menstrual cloth and say to them, "Away with you."
Amen. See, when we are open to the voice of the Lord, listen to that. This is the way, Dave, walk ye in it. Listen to the next verse. You will take that which you have worshipped, idols, and things that have come before me, and you will throw them aside. You'll think, what a waste of time. In fact, it uses like a menstrual cloth, which is, you know, something that was unclean, isn't it? And that's what you will treat it like, because you've put that before me, yet I, the God of heaven, wants to speak to you, want to guide you and lead you. We think, how dull are we sometimes? You know, we think about people who don't know the Lord, but I'm thinking about people who do know the Lord. How dull we can be, that the Lord wants to be in our lives, wants to talk to us, wants to direct us. Yet we get distracted here, we look here, we look there. But thankfully, the Lord does speak. Are we listening? Are we letting? That's a great question. Yeah. So Colossians, just reading Colossians. You see, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the peace of God reign. See, there's an allowing, isn't it? Allowing. There's the will. The will is always our biggest problem. Doing, not knowing, but doing. Putting what we know into action. And listening is, oh dear me, don't we get ourselves into trouble when we don't listen? Don't someone a while ago and... they in a little bit of bother, I had a bit of grace upon me, but I said, "You were told not to do that many years ago. You were told not to do that." It was a relationship. You were told not to, but you carried on with it, and now you know, and that's because we don't listen sometimes. We don't listen, and that's why we have a fellowship, and that's why and leaders to direct us and guide us. And you say, could they be wrong? Well, yes, but let me just say, even if they are wrong, your heart is, "Lord, I'm trying to listen to you." I think of David, the opportunity he had to kill Saul. Mm. Oh Lord, he said, "Look, let you deal with that. I'll make sure I'm right. And I'm not going to touch him." He had an opportunity, didn't he? And his men said, "Oh, here it is. This is an opportunity from the Lord." He said, "Oh, no. I allow the Lord to deal with him. I will not raise my sword to this guy," he said. Because he's still the Lord's. And when the Lord removes him, then... So listening is such a key. And we, let's be honest, there are times we've known what the Lord has spoken to us and we haven't listened. And that's we need to come and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a child. I'm disobedient sometimes," and that's what God's looking for, isn't He? A broken heart, a soft heart, to recognize that He's speaking. This is the way walking it, listening, letting, fellowshipping with Him. And I love this when we see our example, of course, always Jesus. But this whole chapter of Philippians 2. Let's just read out. Philippians 1:11.
"Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being from the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also was highly exalted and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
I love the Paul there. He's saying fellowship with the Spirit, mind of Christ, be like Christ, and then his example is Christ. So when we sit, we say, well, we have Jesus, don't we? He is our example, so we're not in any doubt of how we live, what we live, how we communicate, how we speak. We have Jesus before us, and when there's fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that means partnership, isn't it? Like the word fellowship, we understand, koinonia, that we're in the same boat, fellowship, in the same boat with him. Strife goes down. There's unity, there's humility, and generally disunity comes from pride, isn't it? Just, I talked again to someone today, and they said, "Oh, so and so, they went because of this and that," and I'm thinking, "Oh, it was just immaturity, totally. You know, one thought this and one wasn't happy with that," and you're thinking, "Oh, dear." Dear. Strife goes down when there's fellowship with those women. Selflessness rises. Selfishness decreases. And there's a servant heart. Why? Because there's Jesus, isn't it? Yeah. He wanted to serve. That's all he did. It's not about how he came to serve and not to be served. There's our Saviour. I read this quote and I thought, ooh, this is a mighty quote. If we let him, for we can't prevent him, if we choose, he will make the feeblest and filthy of us into a dazzling, radiant, immortal creature, pulsating all through with such energy and joy and wisdom and love as we cannot now imagine, a bright, stainless mirror which reflects back to God perfectly, though of course on a smaller scale, his own boundless power and delight and goodness. What amazing that God can actually do that with us. If we will allow him, we can reflect who he is. Why? Because we're his children. And as we said before, you look around, don't you? And we were today in funeral, and the first picture of Tracy's mum came up, and I thought, was Tracy there? Isn't it? And amazing. Why? Because they're from the same family, from the same DNA. We look, although I always used to make fun of my daughter because everyone used to say, "Oh, you look like your father." So if I wanted upset, I'd say, "Don't forget, everyone says you look like me." With hair, of course. That would upset her. So there's what the Lord longs for. And of course, here's Jesus. Here's Jesus. Luke 4, 1 and 2.
Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry.
Yes, so listen now. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Mark uses a different strong word. The Bible says the Holy Spirit drove him. Now he's filled with the Spirit. God takes him into the wilderness. And so when sometimes we think, "Oh Lord, you lead me lovely places, lovely," wait a minute now, we'll see in a moment. Sometimes the wilderness, the desert places, God does amazing work in the wilderness, doesn't he? We'll see in a moment how he takes it. We don't like it because it's difficult. The road is hard. It's hot. It's against the grain. We've got to really press in and persevere. But again, I was talking to quite a few people today, and I was talking about the generation before us, what a different generation. Totally different generation. The commitment was taken for granted, wouldn't it? You wouldn't have to say, "Oh no," they'd be there, they'd do that. And we were just talking about the one chap, and he'd be working, he'd be doing something on the farm, and then if anything in the church to be done, he'd be there to do that. And he's thinking, you know, what a difference, a different mentality that we have today. We have that, and of course, again, we've lost a bit. But Jesus was led. He was driven into the wilderness, into a difficult place, not to ease, but it had to be done. Because we'll see, our last reading is what happens when he comes out of the wilderness. But the Spirit led him there. So even if we're in difficulty in that desert place, don't ever think this is not where the Lord wants you to be. No, no, no. If you say, Lord, I'm listening, I'm ready, I don't like this place, there's a work to be done. There's something the Lord is trying to do there. Because when we're there, we have to rely upon him. We have to turn to him. There's nowhere else to go. And that's what God loves sometimes. He gets to a place where we have to listen and learn. Now, here's the key. Holy Spirit within us, changing us, transforming us. I suppose the two really descriptions of being led by the Spirit from Romans 8 and Galatians 5 is the way to live for Christ. The combating of our old nature. And our old nature is very strong. If you didn't know, you will know, and you should know, because it rears its head sometimes when we don't want to. Someone does something, someone says something, something crops up, something comes up. Ooh, look at that! And our own nature wants its own way. It is strong, but the Bible says the only way to combat it is not by our own discipline. Discipline comes into it by the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God. Let's read Galatians 5, 16 to 26.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Live, life by, walk with, be led by, and I like that last one there. It says keep in step. It's a military term. We understand what that means. You keep in step. he's calling the shots. 1-2, 1-2. They tried to do that on Armistice Day. Well, good job, I won in the army. 1-2-4-5. But he's calling the shots. Keep in step with him. What is he saying? Well, that's why we need the word, because he uses the word. He takes the sword of the Spirit and applies what God says. He is the one. Our old nature and our spiritual nature, there is a battle going on. And we understand that. We live in that. But the more we listen and are led and are keep in step, the less our old nature, we choke it, really. We choke it into... but again, that's a day-by-day thing. Isn't it amazing? One day, I'm wonderful. Dear me, the devil has gone, no. I'm thinking, phew, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't upset Jackie. Those things that have lured me the day before are gone. I think, wow, wonderful. The next day, ooh, yay, yay. Get up on the wrong side of the bed. As we always start the day with the Lord, otherwise you're in trouble. And things crop up and we think, ooh, that old nature's still nagging away, isn't it? Still nagging away. That's why we need him to lead us and direct us, and listening, letting, be led of him, living by him, living for him. Thankfully, he's the one who changes us, transforms us. 2 Corinthians 3, 15-18.
But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open, that's right, face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
So with the Spirit of the Lord, there's transformation. That word, we know the word metamorphosis. We understand that. If you ever watched The Incredible Hulk, when he was a nipper. No, maybe none of you did. I used to love that. But a caterpillar to a butterfly. That's a metamorphosis. What a beautiful picture. That God changes us. That's what the Holy Spirit does, little by little. Now, how does a caterpillar become a butterfly? Well, we know that he has to eat. And he, I think, I know I misquoted because I've said it before, maybe 100 times his body weight, isn't he? He's voraciously eating. You've seen the pictures. And he voraciously, we have to voraciously eat God's word. And as we do that, we are transformed. He takes the word and he transforms us, changes us. And there's liberty, there's freedom, there's deliverance. I love the story. It's a great book. We've got there somewhere. We Chasing the Dragon. Jackie Pullinger went to Hong Kong. Young girl, 22, called by the Lord. Unbelievably, really, just go to Hong Kong. And, you know, this is back in the 70s. To the Wall City. Absolutely, you know, dive. I wouldn't even call it a dive. And, you know, she was serving the Lord and working and thinking, this is difficult. And then she came across some Pentecostal missionaries, got baptized in the Spirit, and dear me, things took off. And people, these drug addicts, were getting saved. And they were still, the drug was holding them, and it will. But she said, we needed again, filled with the Spirit. Baptized in the Spirit. And every time that longing, great, she'd say, right now, speak in tongues. Fill yourself with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Allow the Spirit of God. And he said, and they said they had multitudes been released, didn't they? Why? Because the Spirit of God brings liberty, freedom. You know, you're talking about there's no treatment in those places, is there? There's no rehab places there in those days. It was the Lord or nobody, or go back to it. And so the Lord delivered many of them, mighty. And that's wonderful. To see that, and we need it. You know, we need again more and more the Spirit of God leading and directing us, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, thankfully, again, we have the Book of Acts is full of that, because that's the first century church. That's where we are to be. The Holy Spirit right in the center, guiding, leading, filling, healing, doing what He wants, being released. Not being hindered, and we've hindered him. Was I talking to somebody, and they were saying about a particular church and the minister, Baptist church, but the minister's beginning to talk about the Holy Spirit. The last minister said he never did one sermon on Holy Spirit, and you're thinking, you know, we're in trouble, aren't we? Then, because if he's not allowed to move, if he's not allowed to have his way, then who's gonna? He's the one who saves. He's the one who changes. He's the one who heals. He's the one who convicts. He's the one who brings people to Jesus. So we need him. We need him to be filling us. Here's one of the leading and directors. Acts 8:26-30.
Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in this chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you are reading?
The angel, it's quite interesting, the angel had to tell him to get out of Samaria, wasn't he? Down the desert road. He had to tell him to get out of that place. Why? Because he was in the middle of revival, wasn't he? Glory be. Why would I leave this place when people are being saved? Wonderful. Get down on that desert road. So maybe he had to have an angel to really point him. But as he was going down there, again, why am I down here? But I'm being obedient. And then the Spirit of God says, get alongside that chariot. So they had a bit of a jog there, didn't he? Maybe, I don't know, it depends how quick the chariot was going. So a bit of effort. But the Spirit of God directed him, and he listened. And sometimes, you know, it isn't what we think is right. We've got to listen. The Lord takes us to different places, different avenues, listening to him, but ultimately for his glory, because that man, of course, would be saved and take the gospel to a different continent, to the African continent. Acts 10.
While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. Go get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to do with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?"
Remember the story. Peter's hungry, and God uses, he's always working supernaturally in the natural. He's hungry, and he's tired, so he's nods off like some of us. I'd laugh, I was with Jackie's mum today, and she was nodding off, and I was nodding off. She said, "You're nodding off, yeah?" I said, "No, I've had my little nap today." I said, "I've been out all day." Is your sparkling conversation? No. And he drops off, and he has this vision, doesn't he, of all these animals, and the Lord's get up and eat. I'm a kosher. I don't eat anything unkosher. And the Lord said, "Oh yeah, you just listen." The Bible then says the Spirit begins to speak to him, gives him a vision. He's pondering. I love the word there. He's reflecting. He's pondering. And that's I suppose one word we can think about: meditating on what God is saying. Listen, meditate on what God is saying. He gives us the Spirit of God to then speak to us, direct us. The Spirit of God says, "Look, this guy's come in. They are not Jewish. They are, you know, they're Gentiles. But you go with them." Now that's a powerful, because remember, culture, preconceived ideas, going totally against those, remember, for the gospel's sake. For the gospel, to get the gospel. But the Lord already worked beforehand, didn't he? He put that vision, and then the Spirit of God is interpreting. Why? Because he's pondering. He's, "Lord, what are you trying to say? What do you want to say?" And that's the key, isn't it? Wanting to hear what God is to say. Again, listening and letting what the Lord wants to say to us. Acts 16.
"Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them."
So you heard people say, "Well, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting." Now Paul, the Bible says he was going. He would try to go here, but he was still listening. He wasn't overriding what the Spirit, but the passion was there. "I'm going to get the gospel. I'm going." So he tries to go there, and the Holy Spirit says, "No, you're not going there." So did he sit down? No, I'm going down there. And the Holy Spirit said, "Don't go there." But you see, there's that activeness. "Lord, I want to do, but I want to go where you want me to go." Sometimes we need to sit. There's a sitting and resting, but someday we can sit and rest forever, can't we? Paul said, "Well, I'm going. But I'm still listening. I'm going to listen." And the Lord said, "Nah, there's that check. There's that we say, don't we, in our spirit? No, oh, dear." Then the Lord says, "Okay, perhaps Paul wasn't listening as he should, maybe." And he has a dream. And that's what the Lord does sometimes, isn't he? If we're not listening, or gives a vision or a dream. And the Macedonian man says, "Come along here. Come this way and help us." And the Lord said, and they said, that we thought this was from the Lord. Definitely. So there's that checking in our spirit, not laziness and activeness, but still saying, "Lord, if it's you, shut the door, stop it, but I'm going. I want to preach, I want to speak, I want to tell, because you put that on my heart." And this is what your heart now is, Paul's heart. Acts 20.
"And see, now I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testified in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God.
So you are Paul, caught up with the Lord, loving the Lord, filled with the Spirit. And he said, I'm bound by the Spirit. The Spirit is such passion within him to drive him that I'm going to preach. And he says, look, I know what's ahead of me. In fact, the Spirit tells me there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be imprisonment. There's going to be beatings. Well, I'm going the other way, me. Don't tell me that, Lord. I'll go, but just don't tell me. But you see, even in the midst of that, he's going. Because he said, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. For me to tell of Christ, live for Christ, and even if I've got to die for him, which of course eventually he did die for him, that's all that counts. That's being led of the Spirit. That's the fullness and the end result, I suppose, when we are really walking with him and bound. He said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. It was such a love of Christ constrained him. Why? Because he was filled and being led by the Spirit of God. Now, as we went back to Luke 4, we see Jesus being led by the Spirit. He's filled. Now he's been led to the wilderness. Now he's been tested. Now he's been tried. Listen to what happens when he come back. Luke 4, 14 to 21.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and everywhere, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. On the Sabbath he went to the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone of the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
So, baptism water, say, "My son, well, Holy Spirit comes and dwells in him, fills him, led into the wilderness, testing, obedience, victory." And then comes back, not just full, but full of the power. Comes back in the power of the Lord. Because fullness will always be tested. Will always be tested, resisted. The enemy will resist it. Everything, the world will resist it. And that's why we need to be filled to overcome and to be obedient. But when there's obedience, there's a power. He comes back, he goes back home and said, he opens the scroll. It was his day to read, and his day to interpret the reading. And he said, "This day, the prophetic word will be fulfilled." Why? Because the Spirit of God is upon me. Hallelujah. Isaiah 7:61. Spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me to preach good news, to set the captive free, to open blind eyes. Wonderful. Why? Because the Jesus, led of the Spirit, listening and then living through the Spirit. Through his humanity, so then he can say to me and you, "You can do the same." Hallelujah. Oh, that we will, we are children of the living God, and that's the key. Those who are led by the Spirit are children of the living God. Oh, help us. Help us day by day. Oh, not to resist again, not to rebel, not to strive against him. Say, "Lord, I'm going your way, doing what your word says." Oh, then. Come, I want to come out and come in the fullness of the power of God, which we desperately need.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.